الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we titled today's gathering, or we have a theme tonight, which is halawat, sushi and sandwiches, which is an indication of a little bit of what we're going to talk about. In addition to having done halawat, and we are indeed going to have sushi and sandwiches and some other things too, but we're talking about pairs today. And there is a secret in pairs, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions pairs often, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned pairs. Now, we can talk about, we're not just talking about complementary pairs. When I say pairs, we're talking about opposites as well, because for instance, we know that if we want wealth or richness in our life, then we are told to be content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. So that is an example of an opposite. There are secrets in opposites, and there are secrets in complementary pairs. So reflecting on both of those gives us solutions to a lot in our life. I mean, even if I were to ask you, if I named one part of a pair, almost everyone in this room could give me the other half. If I say peanut butter, most of you are going to say jelly. If I say Layla, what are most of you going to say? Majnoon, right? In the dunyawi realm, if I say Romeo, most of you are going to say Juliet. So there's things that just go together. And sometimes we can make things go together if we find success in it. So I'm not saying there's success in putting sushi and sandwiches together, but it is an offering. Not everyone likes sushi, so there is an alternate. You can have sandwiches tonight if you happen not to be acclimated to sushi. It's one of those things that usually it takes some time. I, for one, did not like sushi the first time I had it, but it was my husband's insistence over and over that made me finally love it, actually. So this also teaches us that we can learn to like things. Mercury, steel, and magnet, for instance. So we have this idea of opposites attracting. So again and again, pairs come up. And so there's much to be learned in this. Zoj, for example, doesn't mean a husband or a wife, but it just means a spouse. So we say in the English language that people say, where's your other half, for instance, for to a married couple, either the husband or the wife. So we have this example. Now, I want to take that further and look at it in other realms as well, where we may not apply it. Complementary pairs, and then you can apply your own, actually. Take the knowledge and the wisdom that is contained in pairs. That's what we want to do for our reflection from tonight, and apply it wherever you find benefit, inshallah. So if we look at this analogy, for instance, when we're on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does the Shaykh tell us to do first? Astaghfirullah. We have to do thousands and thousands of astaghfirullah. So we've cleaned our vessel, and then what do we fill it with? Salawat. So, for instance, the Qur'an, what is the ultimate pairing in the deen? The Qur'an and the sunnah. We cannot have, like some of these people nowadays, what do they call them? The ones who just follow the Qur'an. Waliyadu billah. No, not the Salafis. They just do mainly the hadith. I think submitters. They just believe it or not. Okay, you guys are naive. Alhamdulillah, good you don't know these people. But there are people out there that just do, they say, you know what? We're just going to follow the Qur'an. We don't know if the hadith is correct. They're actually displaying their ignorance by saying that, because we do know the hadith is correct, because the hadith sciences are the toughest science, some of the toughest science in the world, compared to the dunyawi sciences or the dini sciences. The hadith sciences are unparalleled. This is why not just hufaz, not just those who memorize the Quran, but those who study hadith, their brain expands to just incredible synapses that nobody else has, because you have to be a master of the Arabic language to be a hadith master. It's just the nature of it. So Quran and Sunnah always go together. We cannot just take one like these submitters do. They say because of their ignorance, they think that maybe the Orientalists got to them. But we have proof, for instance, of mutawatir hadith. They're almost, they're considered law, because mutawatir means all of the higher sahaba have narrated this hadith almost verbatim. So we can, they can be used for law giving, for instance. There are other hadith that cannot be used for law giving. They're considered for virtuous acts, which don't affect halal and haram, for instance. But for sure, these mutawatir hadith can be used because they're so strong. So they're codified for different levels, hadith are. So we have this Quran and Sunnah always going together, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the translator, interpreter of the wahi. So he was our living law giver, if you will. So this is why we cannot let these modern day deviant groups get to us, because we get our deen from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot know even how to pray without looking at the hadith. So these people that just say that we just are going to follow the Quran are a deviant group indeed, because they have not understood the intensity of the hadith sciences. So these things always go together, and this is what how our deen is preserved, with the Quran and the Sunnah. So we have. So I was saying that the shuyukh give us astaghfirullah as a salik, on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're given astaghfirullah to clean out our vessel, and then we're given salawat. So this is the reason. We clean out first, and then we fill ourselves with the nur of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So I wanted to give you an analogy, like I like to do, from the medical realm. So a lot of mistakes going in people who even go to the naturopathic route and think they can detox just by picking up certain things, this thing or that thing, and they might not find benefit, for instance, in that detoxing. And the reason is it's akin to doing this thing of, for instance, separating a pear. For instance, just following the Quran. And how, for this person, how can they even learn how to pray without looking at the hadith? It's impossible. Look anywhere in the Quran. The how-to of prayer is not there. So this detoxing, it's when you pick and choose on your own, you can, it's, and this is why sometimes people don't find benefit, and they may give up on the natural route because they don't know how it works. So you can't just pick and choose on your own. You do need some guidance when you go to the natural remedies. So if you pick and choose on your own, for instance, you might be, for instance, using remedies that broom out. First, let me explain that everything in the natural remedy or the naturopathic realm works as a cleansing. If you don't want to look at the word detox, sometimes it's misunderstood because it sounds harsh. You're detoxing continually. Another way to look at it is just to say we're cleansing every organ. That is the route of all disease in natural medicine. You're basically just cleaning out, cleaning house. I mean, we understand this concept in terms of our cars, in terms of our plumbing in the home, but we don't seem to understand it in our bodies. Whereas it's the biggest plumbing vessel in the world. We have plumbing that equals, if you were to take all of the plumbing in our bodies, it would go around the world 3 times. That is how amazing this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called our bodies is. This is why doctors, especially traditional doctors, had no doubts in their mind that the greatest creation of Allah is man. Not the planets, not the universe, and of course the most perfected of creation is man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it follows rationally too. But so we have this plumbing that if you were to take all the lymphatic vessels, all of the arteries, all of the veins, so all of this vascular supply that we have. Think about it. Three times around the world. What is that, 60,000 miles? Three times around. That is, and so we think that doesn't need cleaning? That is a whole, that's it in a nutshell. The natural remedy is you keep that plumbing clean. We understand it in the house. We continually do this plunger thing, and we do it for our cars. You know, we get the mechanics to look at it, and we make sure it has premium fuel if we like our cars. But we don't think about what we put inside our mouths in terms of premium fuel. Why is that? Because we haven't looked at, the doctors do though, the ones who have looked at this creation of Allah and see, subhanahu wa ta'ala, what a miracle it is. This thing that we called our bodies, these vessels that we were given temporarily to take care of. So when we choose on our own and we just pick certain remedies, it's akin to just brooming the house without mopping. So some remedies may be just brooming your vascular supply without mopping. And the best mop is fats, believe it or not. I want to dispel this fallacy about the last couple of decades of them scaring you to death about fats. If you do not have fats, you are not cleaning out your vascular supply. If you're doing this crazy fiber thing, you are not cleaning out your vascular supply. You may be harming your vascular supply. All that plumbing, you may be endangering it with Allahu A'lam, the colon problems, hemorrhoids, colon cancer, all that stuff could be from this damaging route. The body needs good fat. Okay, most people know you can't use trans fats now. But it's not just about that. A lot of the things they say are not good for you. Ghee is excellent for you, but don't let anyone tell you this. The facts are there in their own medical books. The facts are there about the good fats. Ghee is one of them. Butter is one of them. Olive oil, obviously. Canola oil is not. It's on the X list. So these things will probably astonish most people, but it's batil out there. It's almost, you have to look, whatever they're promoting, look to the opposite of it. In almost many, in most cases, actually, unfortunately, I have to tell you that. But a lot of these things, it's the exact opposite that is good for you. So be aware and learn what feels good to your body. So without the good fats, you are not mopping your body. You're just brooming. And you're probably just brooming and putting it in the corner. You're not even brooming thoroughly. You're doing that cheap way of brooming, which is just putting it under something. So it's the fats that come in and get every nook and corner, the mopping, right? Ask anyone who cleans. My mom would know this. She's obsessed with mopping and waxing. But you cannot say it feels clean until you do that, mopping and waxing. So the same with our bodies and the same with our spiritual life. You cannot feel or get on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell you, this is why there's no limit to how much salawat. That's the title, right? Salawat, sushi and sandwiches. So you can have the sushi and sandwiches. You've done the salawat. And don't stop the salawat. That is our mop of our soul. We need to continually do it, and there is no limit. So anytime we're sitting and we don't know what to do, zikr, salawat. This is why there are certain dhikrs you can never do enough. So anyone who says they don't have access to a sheikh, because we know that you can't just pick up any azkar that you want to do. Some of them are very jalali, and you may be doing something that your body can't handle. If you sit and do qul huwallahu ahad, you cannot do that. That is way too jalali for most people. That's why we need permission from a sheikh. You can't just sit and do that, because you may end up to dispel all your friends from around you, because it's going to be so weighty for you and everyone around you that no one will be able to stand to be next to you. It's interesting how that works, actually. I was reading a book on body language, and this business lady was talking about how people who suppress their emotions when they're up, like businessmen who are up to give a talk, and let's say there some businessmen, you know, withhold, you know, they're, it depends on what kind of leader you are, right? She was talking about different kinds of leaders, and a good leader is able to say what he wants because he's able to disseminate it in the best way, in a proper way. And there are some who just withhold. And then, of course, usually what happens is things explode around them every now and then. So what she was talking about, this is remarkable. She said Stanford University did a study on suppressing emotions. And so we know that it can cause physical explosions at some point. But what they found is that it also causes physiological, quote-unquote, explosions. In terms of what they did is measure blood pressure. And it increased, the majority of people who do this, suppressing emotions, it increases their blood pressure. They measured it, and it skyrocketed. Not only that, here's the really alarming part. These people who go up and lead other people, give us not just through speeches, but they're at the forefront of their businesses and they have to guide other people. That blood pressure was contagious because the listener who has to follow through with whatever this leader is saying picked up on this suppression and they got the blood pressure by contagion. Can you, I mean, imagine that. So, subhanAllah, how about our spiritual state? This is why when we see the Arifin, we get it by contagion. This is another way to explain how as the ulama get older and you see that incredible nur exuding from them, they don't have to say anything because it transfers onto us by contagion. So all of this is palpable. So they measure this in terms of these emotions. So how about spiritual emotions? Those are much even more visceral and palpable. So all of these things we have to take into consideration. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-anasu min Allahi wal-ajilatu min ash-shaytan." Deliberation is from Allah, or calmness and deliberation, and haste is from shaitan. You can translate that. If you want to make it rhyme, I would call it precipitation. I don't mean rainfall, but I mean precipitating, like waiting to do something hastily. Literally, actually, precipitation, this is just to get the rhyme for deliberation. It's nice when you can translate it and it rhymes, it catches people's attention more. But anyway, so precipitation literally means falling down also. So you could see how haste, ajila, it means to fall down. When you don't think and you just act. Now, we're told that we should do that in terms of the akhirah. When something is a decision we're about to make that benefits our akhirah, that's not called haste in that case. That's anticipating the good, so you don't put it off. But in terms of the dunya, we don't want to make haste. So calmness and deliberation. This reminds me of anticipation. Now, there's only very few songs that you can listen to in terms of the popular culture. But one of the songwriters that has really, some of her songs are good words or good meanings are Carly Simon. I just was reminded of that because I was picking up a biography of her in the library. I happened to browse through that. And so it's interesting enough, I opened up to the page where she talked about where this motivation for this song, Anticipation, those of you who don't know it, they used the ketchup commercial, I think it was Heinz that bought this song for $50,000 from her. She sold it to Heinz, I think, because that commercial, you know, Anticipation, it's making me wait. And then they show the ketchup bottle, turn it upside down. And then her song, basically, that she wrote. So she has a lot of good words in there. But basically, I read in that book that she wrote that song for who we know as Yusuf Islam. One day she was waiting to meet, it was the first time she was going to meet, back then, Cat Stevens, right? And she was just very excited to meet him, because at that time, I guess, I suppose this must have been in the 60s. I don't know what it was like, but for those who lived at that time, it must have been like, I don't know, like Madonna or Digger maybe. I don't know. Whoever lived at that time can share with us how it felt if you knew, you know, Cat Stevens was the biggest pop culture singer, I believe, at that time. I think folk songs were the top of the charts. But anyway, so that whole song was written for him because she was waiting to meet him. But it's interesting. And it's really nice words, you know, just a little tidbit there. So we want to have this calmness and deliberation. And that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, we see these pairs and opposites. That's the opposite of, well, what I said, precipitation or haste. So we apply. Now, if I were to ask people to define to me, what do you think courage means? I think even the children can. Hudad, how would you define courage, the word courage? Shuja in Arabic. Or anyone who wants to answer that question. Who knows what courage means? Whatever you think it means. There's no wrong answer here. Or you could give me a synonym. Give me a synonym if you can't think of a definition. Daria, you wanna? Come on, someone. Bravery. Yeah, bravery. That's usually what we think of, right? What do you think of? Courage. But a deeper definition is not just bravery for courage. If you think about it, courage is not, because we think of it as, it would mean absence of fear. That's what you would think, right? A courageous person is someone who doesn't have fear. That's actually not true. A courageous person is, or you could think courage means to not give up in the face of fear. So you still have the fear. You totally, absolutely still have the fear. But it means not giving up, especially in the face of great fear. I used this example years ago because I read about it. It's just a striking scene that happened in this book called The Art of Learning. He describes how he went to the Amazon jungle. He went in there and, you know, there's panthers and they're, you know, they're very frightening in the dark, in the thick of the night. Imagine in a jungle. And he heard this story about one of the natives who had no fear of panthers. You know, he would go and get his daily food for his family from the jungle. But one time something happened to him and all of a sudden he just froze when there was a panther. And, you know, he profusely sweat and all of these other things. And he had remembered actually there in a tree to make a whistling sound, and that goes away for miles. So that was a safety mechanism. He had remembered to do that as soon as he thought he heard the panther before he faced him. So in the end, the ending is fine. He gets saved by his son, who had heard that whistle from miles away, who knew that meant that his father was in danger. So he saved him. But those few seconds that he faced the panther were so grave for him that he ended up to be in a mental institution. Not from the panther attacking him. He just lost it. The fear took over him. And he lived in a mental institution the rest of his life, just from those seconds of not being able to have that courage, which is not giving up in the face of great fear. So that's a much deeper definition. And there's another way we can pair up things to understand a deeper realm. So this is what I want us to take away with today. So use this example in whatever, not just with food. I think we can use that in many ways for food. The chocolate chip cookie, that was an accidental recipe. You know, I think that's the legend has it that tips were dropped in, one mother was making, and it was a mistake, and now everyone enjoys it. So sometimes these things we can continue to make new pairs and learn from them. So we don't know what it is that people are going to take up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to gain wisdoms with this and ultimately allow these pairs to take us to paradise. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allahu ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allahu ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allahu ahlu. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Al-Fatiha.